Congressman Tim Walberg joins us just about every Friday. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Good to be with you. I hope it's as sunny and beautiful there in downtown Jackson and out on Williams Lake as it is here in the U.S. Capitol.
Now, are you in Tipton?
No, I'm here still in D.C. We have some votes this morning. Have votes on the Pump Act, which is for nursing mothers, and to require that businesses set aside spaces and opportunities and policies for nursing mothers. And we certainly support that, but the bill is extremely inflexible and will have some very costly and negative impacts. So that's something we're fighting here today and trying to amend it to make it more realistic and still provide the opportunity. But I truly don't think as many people are thinking about the Pump Act as they are about supply chain issues. Having Christmas toys and the like, and more importantly, having resources to fill their gas tanks and their cars, trucks, at a much more reasonable cost than what we're seeing now. And then talking about the vaccine mandate that is looming potentially in front of us next week for implementation probably in early December, that could cause health care challenges all across your listening, your listeners' area.
Well, it already is. Beaumont announced they had suspended 400 employees, and I'm sure we're going to hear more of that.
Well, Beaumont can spread that across a much larger system.
Right.
Henry Ford can do it as well. But does that mean they spread it by removing more percentage-wise from Jackson than from other places? And that ought to be concerned. But then I think of, for instance, Eaton Rapids, or Hillsdale, or Oak Lawn over in Marshall, or any of a number of rural hospitals that don't have thousands of employees
right.
to spread it. You could see an Eaton Rapids hospital that provides an amazing service to their people and have upgraded their facilities, their technology, and you have people traveling there to get care. Hillsdale the same way. I was just there for a dedication for a new pediatrics wing that they did. That it's amazing what they're providing for their community. But when you have 43% of the staff at Hillsdale Hospital, and maybe similar at Eaton Rapids, for instance, that have chosen not to be vaccinated for personal reasons, health care, a doctor saying, with your particular health issues, we don't think it'd be best for you to have it. I mean, if they allow an alternative, that being testing, twice a week testing for the employees, that adds huge costs for the hospital. How do you administer that? Are there going to be enough test kits available to continue this over time? All of this says, why are we doing this when we see the incidences of the Delta virus going down all across the country? We become accustomed to trying to deal with this as an endemic, that we have to know the science, we have to think smart, we have to realize that it is going to be with us forever, like the flu and other things, and we live with it, and we live with it successfully. This mandate will be a huge cost, and it starts me to wonder, is this just a backdoor approach, another approach in getting universal health care? If it is, it's even more insidious than simply big government putting mandates on that are inflexible and have costs that will have impact not on only on bottom line, but on people's lives, their health. So I'm trying to get the word out. But again, the House, the Senate, and the White House are under the control of Democrats. And so they have the upper hand in making these decisions. They need to hear from constituents all across the country, including the 7th District of Michigan. And so I'd encourage your listeners, if they have concerns about this and about their health care being available to them as up close and personal as it is now, they better contact Senator Stabenow and Senator Peters and say, listen, think long and hard before you approve anything that this president will do, maybe as early as next week, to be implemented as early as December, without giving due consideration to the impact that it could have on our health and our health care systems.
You got a vaccination, right?
I did, and okay. And I believe in the vaccination, and I believe in it strongly. I think it's what we've seen so far from vaccinations, as any other vaccination, there is a worst-case scenario that takes place occasionally, but very seldom. Mm-hmm. And we have the stats to show that. I'm glad I took the vaccine. I encourage others to get it. Talk with your doctor if there's a concern, and find out what's best for you. But I am totally opposed to mandates. Totally. That is not the prerogative or the responsibility of the government. We have not done that in the past history, until Obamacare. And I wish the Supreme Court had ruled on the constitutionality of a mandate to purchase certain insurance. And now the mandate, if it comes across, to have a stick in your arm when you may not feel that it's best interest for you to have that. For whatever reason, that's just wrong. So I'm trying to get out the word, folks, take a look at the stats and everything else. And I know it's early in the implementation of this vaccine, but we also know the processes that were used aren't unfamiliar. They've been used earlier than just this vaccine. That's how we could get it done so fast and out to the people, and it's had impact already. Positive impact, but the mandate is wrong, and that's what the senators need to hear, that we don't want this. And the impact, I think of these rural hospitals, upwards of 70% of their income comes from Medicare, Medicaid. That means if they don't follow the mandate, they lose 70% of their income because the federal government will not pay for the procedures done under Medicare or Medicaid. That's untenable. The hospital goes under. It cannot remain. And that's why we have to step back and look at the reality of what this does. Also, think of the small businesses that have 100 or more employees, and those are still small businesses. They don't have the HR departments and the attorneys to deal with all that will go on under a mandate. And there are plenty of their employees that are approaching retirement age or whatever who will say, no, I will not take the mandated vaccine. So now we have a supply chain problem that's exacerbated even further because inside of this country we're shutting down potential businesses that are providing parts for the auto industry, who's suffering right now because they don't have the chips and other things that are sitting offshore and Long Beach, California, for instance. And that's why it's so frustrating that all this week, when we're hearing the supply chain problems, we didn't have one hearing or one bill come up to vote on the floor of the House to deal with things that are pressing like that. We're messing around with all sorts of other stuff that don't have any real implications for the general population, their economy, their income, their livelihoods, their ability to get goods and services. Those are things we ought to be dealing with. But everything still continues to be in a meltdown format since January 20th, when the new president took office and immediately ended the Keystone Pipeline and 11,000 union good-paying jobs and a continued energy independence from OPEC or any other place in the world. And now we see our president pleading with OPEC to open up their supply for the United States. That's wrong, just wrong. It shouldn't be the case. It wasn't a year ago. We were totally energy independent, and we're exporting energy to the rest of the world and telling OPEC, we don't need you. We want to work with you, but we don't have to. So you work with us. It's a challenging situation now, and I think cool heads have to prevail. I believe that there are Democrats, because we're hearing from them, that are very concerned about the policies moving forward and are starting to push back. We've already seen a change in the proposed mandate that any bank account or allocation $600 or more, the IRS would look into.
Mm-hmm.
That's now been moved up to $10,000, but that doesn't make any difference because we all know that the majority of people through the course of the year will have over $10,000 run through their checking account, their bank account, whether they're paying for their children's college education or whether they're paying their mortgages or whether they're paying for their insurances, all of that. Very few people in the country won't have $10,000 or more go through their bank account, their credit union account, during the course of the year. And on the basis of that, the IRS, which in the Democrats' Build Back Weaker bill, has 80,000 new IRS agents paid for in that bill. And why? To undertake this research, incursion, invasion into people's private financial interests. And Democrats have taken heat for that, and the ones in the hot seats are starting to say, Madam Speaker, you can't let this go on. So the outcry of the public on various issues is starting to have an impact, and I'd encourage your listeners, if they're concerned about it, make contact with Debbie Stabenow, our U.S. Senator, and U.S. Senator Gary Peters as well, because they are at the heartbeat of the majority in the Senate, and that's where the heavy negotiations are ongoing right now.
Hey, your friend Mike Hurst just left here. We were talking about the Charles Edson Tax Credit Excellence Award. I think you presented it to him.
I had the privilege of presenting it to him, yeah. And it was such a thrilling opportunity to speak to all of those in the room from all over the country. And not pridefully, but with great pride, state that this was the first of its kind in the world of a center like Andy's Place. There is no other place in the world. And it started in Jackson, Michigan. And it started with a guy who said, I had lemons come into my life with the loss of my son. But Andy's life is not going to count for nothing. It's going to count for much. And the idea was sprung, and with private dollars primarily and some grants from the state government and pass-through of federal government dollars, and enhance what is going on there in Jackson. And I think it's going to have huge impact. But I'm sure Mike is very much concerned about the border crisis and not only the incursion of illegals, but the incursion of more and more fentanyl, narcotics, heroin, etc. And that's just what we've caught, has been exponentially increased in the amount that we've caught, enough in one package that was caught to kill the entire United States population six times over. Doesn't take much. You can put fentanyl that would cover the ear of Abraham Lincoln on your penny. If you take a look at that, enough that would fill the ear of Abraham Lincoln could kill multiple numbers of people. So Mike has to be concerned about that with all of the good work he's done. This is going to expand the need if we don't get a grasp on what's going on the border. That's just one of the failures that's taking place.
Congressman Tim Walberg, painting a bleak picture here today.
Let me in, because I know it's a bleak picture, and I hear it from my constituents. Had another town hall this week, and there's depression out there. There's frustration out there. But I always remind them, this is still America. We've gone through things like the Civil War, and we've turned our country around, and we've come back stronger. We can do it again. And at the birthplace of the Republican Party in Jackson, Michigan, I think there's still optimism that can come if we're willing to step up to the plate. Go to our school board meetings, do it in civil way, speak out against what you see as a problem, Talk to your state's legislators, U.S. members of Congress, the Senate and the House. Do what you need to do. Get to the voting places next time around. But be encouraged. We still have all of those freedoms and opportunities in the United States. It's still the best place in the world, even though there are unnecessary challenges that are being put on our way right now, including a pandemic. But we can move forward. And that's a source for optimism. So let me leave you with that and maybe shut up and go on.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Jim.